Our sermon text is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. In the days of his flesh, he offered prayers and pleas with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was the Son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. After he was brought to his goal, he became the source of eternal salvation for everyone who obeys him. The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Imagine you woke up tomorrow and everything was the old way. So you wake up, you want news, you want to know what's going on in the world, but you cannot just go to your browser and type in the address of your favorite news source and instantly get up-to-the-minute news from all over the planet. No, if you want news, you have to do it the old way. You have to walk to the store and buy a newspaper with information that's already 12 hours old. Now, for those of you under 30, a newspaper, there used to be this thing called a newspaper, and it was basically a news website that was made out of trees and ink. Imagine you want to write a report for work or for school, but you don't have a laptop and a word processor where you can cut and paste and add and delete. No, you have to use a typewriter and liquid correction fluid when you make mistakes. Again, for those of you under 30, there used to be these things called typewriters. They were giant, loud, awkward machines where you had to manually feed paper onto a roller, and then it had a keyboard that you had to punch really hard, and this little spike with a letter on the end of it would fly up and jam into the paper to print. They don't make them anymore. Or, one more, let's say you want to contact somebody, and you can't just take a 6-ounce phone out of your pocket and reach them anywhere from anywhere. You have to call from your house on a landline and just hope that they happen to also be at their house at the moment that you call them. And to make it even more fun, let's say you can't even punch the numbers into the phone because we're still using rotaries. I'm not even going to try to explain what a rotary phone is because you wouldn't believe me if I told you anyway. Which world would you rather live in, the new one or the old one? You know, I think just about all of us would agree that at least in those three cases, it's better to have the new than it is to have the old. Now, in every group, there's always a few weirdos who insist that they would really like to go back to what they call the good old days, but I think if you hook those people up to a polygraph, you'd find out they really don't believe that. They just like to be grouchy about things, and they really prefer the new way, too. The writer to the Hebrews was addressing a group of people who basically were choosing between the new and better and the old and inferior. See, these Hebrews had lived an old way. They lived under an old system. Then they moved out of the old, forward into a new and better system. But now they were actually contemplating going back to the old way again. And basically the whole letter to the Hebrews is a plea to them, don't do it. Don't go back to the old way. The new way is better. Stick with the new. Now, the old system that the Hebrews had lived under was the priesthood of the Old Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, God designated the men from one particular tribe, the Levites, and he made them the priests who served the people of Israel. The Levite priests had a lot of jobs, but they had two main jobs. And the first main job of these priests was to pray for the people. They said regular daily prayers for God's blessing and forgiveness. And then they also made special prayers when the people of Israel messed up real bad, which happened pretty frequently. So their prayers never stopped. They had to come into the temple and stand before the Lord every day to pray for forgiveness and blessing for the people. The second main job of these Levite priests was to sacrifice for the people. And there were regular, daily, annual sacrifices that they made, and then also special sacrifices for particular sins. So every day these priests had to drag live animals into the temple, cut their throats, and burn them on the altar. And these sacrifices never ended. The priests had to make these sacrifices day after day after day after day because the people never stopped sinning. Now, this system, this old system, did not work to bring anybody to God or to make people right with God because everybody involved was a sinful person. The people were sinful and the priests who were serving them were also sinful, so their prayers and their sacrifices were never the perfection that the people needed. But there was a reason that God set up this system. It had a good purpose. It was to help the people in the Old Testament visualize and look forward to a greater priest who was coming to serve them. And this priest brought God's new deal, his new covenant, into the world because he was the great high priest, priest with a capital P, the priest who was not only a human being, but also the Son of God. And because this priest was the Son of God, he was able to pray for the people perfectly. He prayed for us, his people, with absolute reverence and submission, the total attitude of not my will, but your will be done. He completed a life of perfect prayer, and at the end of that life, the writer says, he became the source of eternal salvation. Because after he completed that life of perfect prayer, this great high priest also made a sacrifice for the sins of the people. But he sacrificed himself. Because he was perfect, his sacrifice was perfect, and it was sufficient to cover all the sins of every human being, and it only had to be made the one time. In the words of that great high priest, it is finished. So, now the writer to the Hebrews is telling these Christians, stick with the new way, the great high priest who has come to pray for you and to sacrifice himself for you. Why would you even think of going back to a flawed old system where sinful human beings say prayers for you and the prayers never end? And why would you even think of going back to a system where the sacrifices never end and they're never sufficient for all of your sins? You have the priest, the great high priest, Jesus Christ, and his holy life for you is completed. It's in the books and it's yours through faith. The sacrifice that he made for you on the cross is all sufficient. And it's accomplished. Stick with the new. Now, I understand that nobody here was on the original receiving end of this letter, and I really hope that none of you are considering going over to worship under the Levitical priesthood. If you are, please contact me for spiritual counseling. However, Christians today still fall into the trap of wandering from the new way back to the old way. We just do it in slightly different versions. See, God is extremely clear in Scripture that if you want to come to Him and you want to be right with Him, you have to do it through the work of the new priest, the great high priest, Jesus Christ. It has to be through faith in His life of perfect prayer and His sacrifice on the cross. God does not accept anybody based on the flawed works of sinful human beings, no matter who the person is and no matter what the works are. But there are a lot of people who think that they can get to God and be right with Him that old way. For example, there are a lot of people who don't have faith in Jesus, the great high priest. They don't really see any pressing need for Jesus in their life. But they figure that if there does turn out to be a judgment day, they'll come out of it okay because they were raised in a Christian family or their granddad was a pastor or they were baptized long ago by a holy man in a church. See, that's still the old way. That's relying on flawed works of sinful human beings to get you right with God and bring you to Him. It's still the old way. It's just a slightly different version, and it still doesn't work. There are still other Christians, I think, who approach their Christianity mostly as a list of chores that they have to check off a list. I go to church. I drop some money in the plate. When I'm in trouble, I pray. I drag my kids to Sunday school. Check, 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 and now God should be pleased with me. Now, understand, I'm not degrading worshiping or praying or dragging, if necessary, your children to Sunday school. Those are all good things that Christians will naturally and joyfully do. But none of those actions in and of themselves, none of those actions bring you to God and make you right with Him. That's still the old way. It's still relying on the flawed works of a flawed person, in this case, yourself. And it still doesn't work. And then, and this one really kind of baffles me, honestly, but there are other people who think that just by being a member of a Christian church, just by having their name listed in a directory, they're going to be okay in their relationship with God. And this is a very convenient, time-saving system, because it turns out you don't have to do anything. You don't have to show up at church. You don't have to be involved in the life of the congregation at all. As long as other people are there, as long as the pastor's there and other people are worshiping, somehow, magically, that's going to help you out with God. That's still the old way. It's relying on the works of a very extremely sinful pastor and other sinful people in a congregation, and it still doesn't work. See, there are lots of different ways to go back to the old way, but none of them work. God does not accept anybody based on the works of any mere human being. The only way to get to Him and to be right with Him is through the work of the great high priest. He is the one who prayed perfectly for you and made the perfect one-time sufficient sacrifice for your sins. There is nothing that needs to be and nothing that ever can be added to the work of your great high priest. So leave the old ways in all of their different variations, leave them behind, and stick with the new, the better, and the only way to come to God. Now, before I finish, I should say that none of this means that the works we do as Christians are unimportant. They are extremely important. They are not a way to come to God. But do you understand what this means for our lives as Christians? We do good things, we do good works in our lives as Christians free from pressure. You don't have to do good works and be wondering to yourself the whole time, but have I done enough? Is God pleased with me yet? Will I ever be able to do enough for God to be happy with me? No, we do good works because they're not a way for us to come to God. We do good works because God has already brought us to Himself in the work of our great high priest. Now, the good things that we do as Christians are simply a way for us to open up our hearts in joy and appreciation to our God, who supplied us with the new, the best, and the only way to Him in our high priest. Amen.